You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
Hi, this is Pastor Wesley Mankey, and I am taking a moment to give a special greeting on this first Sunday of Advent to all of our listeners who are a part of our podcast, which, as you know, is really just the sermon. And so we thank you for listening every week. And if I don't know you, please don't hesitate to send me an email, wesmenke@gmail.com, or visit our website and leave a comment so that we can get to know you. And we also want to thank those of you who support this ministry through your financial gifts through our website. And if you haven't done so, consider that. Either way, we thank you for your time listening to God's Word and our reflections on them. And so we continue with the Holy Gospel reading for Sunday, November 29th, from Mark chapter 13. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch comes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake.
Let us pray. Holy God, we confess to you that at times it feels like your face is hidden from us. But you promise to come and be with us from the prophets of old through your Son, Jesus Christ, and even today. So help us get woke, keep awake for you to show up in our lives. In your name we pray, amen. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Thanks for being here at church today. It's a beautiful day. Amen. You know, on days like this that are so beautiful, I look up at the mountains and it reminds me of a very special thing that happened in my life. When I was a teenager, I had the opportunity to travel. My grandmother, Grandma Jean, who lived in these parts back in the day, she believed that travel was important for young people. And so she took my sister on a European trip. And when it was my turn, she was not at an age where she could go. Her health wasn't. But she wanted me to travel nevertheless. So she said, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to go learn how to climb mountains, to be a mountaineer. And there was a very awesome organization called Outward Bound, still exists across the globe. And I went on Colorado Outward Bound for 2 weeks backpacking in the Rockies. And it was so cool. I will never forget it. You know, when you go backpacking for 2 weeks, you don't actually even make campfires. That was a big surprise for me. You know, whenever I camp, even still today, it's like you have to make a campfire. That's part of the experience. But when you're trekking through pristine wilderness, you can't make fires. You have your little backpacker stove with your white gas that you pump up, and you boil your water, you make your pasta, that's it. And then when the stove's out, maybe you light a candle or something simple. And other than that, you're just in the darkness. You look up at the sky. And especially when we think about this reading from St. Mark with the clouds covering the skies and the sun turning dark, it reminds me of those starry nights I saw and the beautiful experience I had. But you know, it wasn't all wonderful. I remember, even though I had this awesome opportunity to travel, I was at a time in my life where I was questioning a lot. I was, as a teenager, you know, I was questioning, I was pushing back to my parents and the traditions of my elders and my grandparents, being Lutheran. I was in a season where I pushed back against that. And so when I went to go mountaineering, it was good because it got me out of my element. It got me out of things that were so familiar, and it really challenged me to grow as a person, to try to see God's face in a new way. When we read in Isaiah about God hiding God's face, you know, that has real ramifications in history. Even as we think about our reading from St. Mark, the first Sunday of Advent every year, we tend to have a reading that's apocalyptic, like the one this morning. Jesus says the sun will go dark, the stars will be shaken from the heavens. Sometimes we even call this reading from Mark the mini apocalypse because it sounds so close to Revelation. And as I think about my own struggling as a teenager, it were some of these teachings of the church that I started to wonder about. You know, is Jesus really going to come back like we say he is? And especially when you read this prophecy from Jesus in Mark, and he describes all these things happening, the Son of Man coming on the clouds into his glory, and then he says, it's going to come in this generation. And so we look back at history and we say, well, did he come? How are we to understand these words? There has been a tendency in the church throughout history to take the challenging teachings of Jesus about his second coming, about the resurrection, about the virgin birth, and there has been a tendency sometimes in the seminaries and in the schools of theologies to, it's called the liberal theological tradition, where these hard teachings are sort of reinterpreted and allegorized so that people will write books and say, it's not really that Jesus is going to come on the clouds. Really, it's sort of an allegory for this other thing. And some of those teachings can be interesting, but one has to ask the question, if you go too far, do you lose? Can you lose that core of the gospel if everything is just allegorized? Oh, it's just a metaphor for something else. What's at stake if we lose some of these challenging teachings from something like the mini apocalypse? Well, actually, quite a lot's at stake. If you look at history, when times when the church was so taken by what we'll call a liberal theological tradition, some pretty ethically dubious things have happened. One of the high points in the liberal theological tradition happened right up to and overlapping the Holocaust. so that at the same time you have scholars saying, I don't know if this stuff is really going to happen like that. It becomes all too easy for people to turn a blind eye from that ethical demand of God, right? That ethical demand that God is real and God cares. You look at history and you see that at that same time, one of the worst atrocities in our history takes place. To the fact that theologians afterwards, Barth, chief among them, looks back and says, you went so far in allegorizing everything that you forgot about the ethical demand of the gospel. You take that away, and all of a sudden you turn a blind eye to this horrific thing that's happening. Barth took the church back to a closer understanding of Jesus through the gospels, that his demands are real. Dietrich Bonhoeffer did the same thing. But you know, this wasn't just a problem that happened on the other side of the Atlantic. The same phenomenon happened here in our own land. We know our history. We know some of the things that have happened that we are not proud of, especially when you think about the suffering that happened in the Deep South. I recently have been reading a book by a theologian, James Cone, called The Cross and the Lynching Tree. And he makes the same point that in New York, Union Theological Seminary was just booming. Churches were full. There was lots of prosperity. But at the same time, many of the theologians in New York were allegorizing everything in the Bible, saying this can fit into our modern world. We don't have to worry about these bizarre teachings. At the same time, they were completely silent at the suffering and the cruelty being done to our American, African-American brothers and sisters, oftentimes happening in when people were fully aware, but never saying a word. Theologians like James Cone and others would come back later and say, we've allegorized this so far, we've just come up with a slick interpretation of everything that there's nothing left to grab our hearts and to force us to look at the hard things happening all around us. But that's not true. That's not true of the people who actually suffer. Many African-American preachers, teachers, growing theologians that went through tremendous suffering in segregation, who came because we know of slavery, even though they were suffering all that time, they would hear stories of the Bible. They would hear this about this person named Jesus. And you have a revival of faith coming from the grassroots up of people who experience suffering, our own sisters and brothers, and have such a powerful experience of Jesus on the cross that they call us all to deepen our faith. Seeing Jesus on the cross suffering gives you hope when you are suffering, because it means you're not alone. Later in the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to be studying Mark all through this year, we're in the year of Mark and John. Jesus' famous words from the cross is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Those make us shake in our boots, those words, that Jesus would say that, but they also give hope, because when you feel like you're suffering, when you feel like you're alone, when you've been mistreated, it means that you're not alone, that Jesus is suffering there with you. It's what Luther called the theology of the cross. It takes seriously the words of Jesus and his experience and his promise to come back and be with us. So what do we make of these words when Jesus says, the sun will go dark, the Son of Man will come on the clouds, and the Son of Man will come into his glory before this generation passes away? How do we take those words seriously in Mark? One way to take them seriously is to understand that when Jesus was in his glory, he was on the cross. That is the glory of Jesus Christ. That is God's love fully displayed for each and every one of us, the suffering servant. And so indeed, Jesus was prophesying, and they say that there was likely an eclipse of the day of the crucifixion. The sun was darkened, and the Son of Man did come into his glory. And tying back to our message last week, if we want to see him again, if we want to experience his presence in our lives, we have no farther to look than people in our own midst who might be suffering. And the key is to be awake, to open our eyes to see it, to remember those six ways that we can experience the presence of Jesus in our life. Whoever's hungry, whoever's thirsty, whoever's a stranger, whoever's naked, whoever's sick, whoever's in prison. Not that those are perfect people, but that Jesus meets us. Jesus really physically meets us still. So what we're called to do is to wake up, to have eyes to see Jesus, to know that we're not alone. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, in our reading this morning, thank you, Ralph, for reading. Paul writes to them and he says, I know that God has given you every spiritual gift so that you're lacking in nothing. You're lacking in nothing until I come back. God has given us every spiritual gift we need to serve God. And I've seen it as we have faced this pandemic and have had to adapt. Skills have bubbled up, abilities. People have stepped forward and shared their gifts. We are lacking in no gift to be able to serve God. Even when we think about the suffering in our community, we have the gifts. We have the connections. And you can see the generosity being poured out by those who have gathered here and even more people who could be a part of it. And so we've got to wake up. That's what Advent is about. It's about waking up. The nights are long. It's harder to wake up, but we got to do it so that we can see God and the things that God is doing. Thinking back when I was doing Outward Bound in the mountains of Colorado, we would hike all day long, you know, literally climbing mountains. It was awesome. And I remember, you know, about halfway through, I was so tired of carrying my 40-pound pack or more, 50 pounds. And we didn't even have tents because those are too heavy. All we did was put up tarp, just a tarp over between two trees, and we'd sleep under it. And one night, we were all so tired because we had summited a mountain, and now we were down in some greenery sleeping, or we were supposed to be sleeping. But some of the people in our group, they kept talking. You know, and I just thought to myself, I am so tired. I'm just going to close my eyes. I don't care if they're talking, and I'm going to get the sleep that I can get. So I remember they're talking. I'm so tired, and I close my eyes, and they keep talking. And after about a minute, I say, guys, I don't mean to be, you know, putting a wet blanket on your party, but you need to be quiet because I need sleep. And they all started laughing at me. And they said, it's time to wake up. In that instant that I had closed my eyes, I was so tired. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been that tired where you just, the head hits the pillow and you open them and 8 hours has gone by, 6 hours, and you had no idea? And you feel just as tired as you were 8 hours before because in your mind it only feels like it was a couple seconds ago. But it doesn't matter. You still got to wake up. And God's going to give you every gift you need to get through that day and every day. And you'll see Jesus and he'll give you strength. So let us ask God's help to help us each and every day to wake up and to see him in our midst. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again. Thank you.